At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a four-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Geographical and other restrictions. Minimum spend £60 and charges apply. New customers only. Maximum saving £20. Terms at ocado.com.
So what if the only thing standing between you and starting a business isn't money? What if all you actually need is an idea, some gumption, and the phone in your hand? So Carolyn Wilmot is back, someone who built multiple businesses from scratch, and she's going to talk to us about how to create something from nothing, which is a powerful thing to do. So I'm pumped to have this conversation. Carolyn, it's so great to see you. Why do you think people think that they need so much money before they start building a business or anything for that matter?
Because that's the messages we're given. This is where we need to stop listening to what the world tells us we need. Uh-huh. And start listening to our intuition and follow that thread. The reason I say that, and it has gotten easier since technology has risen, so more people are comfortable taking the leap forward. Because I started my first business in 1996, and I took a $250 savings bond my dad had given me and cashed it in, and that's how I started my first business. Wow. Because I used the money to open a business bank account and get business cards made. And nobody had a cell phone in their hands. I had a pager.
Crazy.
I know, right? And so that's how I started my first business. But as I've gone along, and every time I started a new business, it's been easier and easier and easier because technology has moved forward. And it's also gotten cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to the point where most people have already the tools they need. They have a cell phone, they have a computer, and they have the idea, but what they're usually missing is the gumption. They're too afraid to take that step because they don't know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
But here's this trick. You don't know what's going to happen anyway. We don't know what is going to happen in life. And humans seem to always go to worst case scenario instead of best case scenario. You think, well, if I start my business, all these things can go wrong. Well, how about being pro-annoyed? Rob Brenzi wrote a book called Pro-Noia, which is based around the idea that the universe is conspiring for you, not against you, which is paranoid. So why don't we walk through life being pro-annoyed and assume that everything is going to work out for the best and start worrying in the positive direction? Like, if I do this, oh my gosh, this could happen. I could meet that person. I could go here. This amazing thing could happen. That could happen. Instead of, oh no, my light, the wheels are going to come completely off the car if I go that way.
You know, everyone like struggles with the perfectionism of they want perfection, certainty, and then validation. All things that come from within, right? Like we're the ones standing in our own way. It's really, really hard to look at it from the perspective of this is going to work out when you don't see it. So then when you started your business in 1996, like, what did you have? Like, how did you go cash that $250 check? Because it's one thing to have it and say, I'm going to do this, but you followed through with it, not knowing what was going to happen. So what did you actually have?
At that time, it was a marketing business. So I did small business marketing, and I used that money to open a business bank account, to get some business cards, and to pay the annual fee to join the local chamber of commerce. That was my networking at the time. Now you can get on social media and reach millions of people around the world instantly, but I didn't have that opportunity. And so what I did is I joined the Chamber of Commerce. And that was a really easy, inexpensive way to do networking with local businesses. But where I found it started to get easier was when I decided to start a different business and write my first book. And it cost us a couple of thousand to get the first one published because it was in 2004 I started that journey. And then by the time I did the next book, it was a few hundred. And then the next book was, I think, $100. And now I publish my books, they're free because the companies that were allowing you to do those services have kept removing the barriers. So when I first started, I used a company called BookSurge, which then got out bought bought out by CreateSpace, which got bought out by Amazon, which is now KDP. So it's gone through like four iterations since I started. And now there's no fee to publish a book, and which is really smart on their part because it encourages people who don't have the funds to write a book and publish a book, and it costs them nothing. And they can use that tool as a marketing tool for when that could be their vocation, like people that write fiction novels. Or
Right. It's
if
like
you're like me,
if you have a master class, you have a match, a book to go with it that you can give your clients so they have something like yeah, I get it. Yeah, it is a smart plan.
And when you put it up there, if you want to buy some to give away, you just order author copies at a really reduced rate. Basically, it's the printing cost.
Right.
It's the cost of printing, and then I pay for shipping, and that's it.
Right.
So I just published one and I ordered 10. I always order a few just to see how they look to make sure before I order a lot. And I like the number 10. I think I don't want to just order one. I want to order a few because that way I can see consistency.
Oh.
And then I have a few to give away right away, which is kind of fun. But it's really inexpensive. But there's people that I know now. I'm talking about publishing because that's what I do. But I have been taking courses, and one of the courses that I took was a YouTube course, and one of the people they were featuring to show how this can be successful was a woman who used her knowledge base to create YouTube videos to help people because people would come to all, she was a physiotherapist, and she would always get people asking her the same questions over and over and over again. Just thought, well, there must be lots of people that have this question. She used her cell phone, set it up, and started answering these questions that everybody asked. And she would put up one video a month. So this isn't even like one of these intense YouTube creators, right? One video a month. So that's 12 a year she was posting. And she got over 100,000 subscribers using her cell phone before she bought a camera and got one of those nice little YouTube plaques. And it's a secondary income for her.
Right.
And she had an idea and her cell phone, and that's all it took. And it was free to upload to YouTube. And she has a second source of income. So we really don't have excuses. But what the key for her was, she had the idea, she had the tools, but she had to actually do it. And I think what stops a lot of people is they don't actually do it because they
That and
get
it feels
worried. And
like
like you
boring.
stated, they get tied up in the perfectionism. Guess what? Perfect doesn't exist.
Yeah. It was interesting when I started going on social media. I fell in love with this supplement that I just absolutely loved. It changed my life. And then I agreed to be an affiliate for the company because I was like, everyone needs this. I was so excited about it. But one of the things that I had to start doing was posting regular videos. And you and I are sitting on a recording a video right now, and I'm podcasting. But at that time, I was so scared of the camera, and I was so awkward, and it was so awful, and I felt so uncomfortable. I remember posting my first one, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm mortified right now. You know, like in my mind, I'm like, this is awful, right? And those videos, they work, they're greatest, but I just challenged myself to continue doing it every single day, and then got easier, and I got better at it, and then it felt normal. So it was like I had to bust through that wall of, oh my God, like, yes, I was terrified. Yeah, I was embarrassed. It was all of those things, but eventually all that went away. So it's like the discomfort, right? Like we have to challenge ourselves and do it, even if it feels awful.
Yeah, most people don't like the discomfort part so that they just don't do it. And they think, what do other people think of me? Well, first of
Yeah.
all, nobody cares that much.
No, that's
Everybody's
the
looking at
honest
their
truth.
own
And
belly
that's the
button.
brutal truth is nobody cares.
And I saw a creator, her name's Jenna Page on Instagram, and she teaches people how to make money from Instagram. To promote their business, to use it as a marketing tool, just like what you said, you had to get on the video. And she was doing the perfectionist thing. And one day she was tired. She didn't care. She had on a t-shirt that had some stains on it. Her hair wasn't done. She put it up. She got a coffee. She just started talking to the camera. She put it up. The video went viral because she was so authentic. And then she realized, oh my gosh, here I am trying to be this perfect business person, teaching you how to do all these things. And when she just let all that go and was herself, like one morning, because she's busy, she's doing 100 things, and she wanted to get the message out, so she's like, whatever. And people loved it. And then she started playing into it. So she started doing things in her videos, realizing that when you're doing something, people are fascinated to see what you're doing, and they stay and they listen to the message. So there's one where she started doing all these weird things, like she started peeling a carrot with an axe instead of a knife, and people went nuts.
Yeah.
And she was she and she would tie her work into her every day. Like they live in like a wooded area. And she needed to paint her house. So she sets up her camera. She's teaching and she's getting her stuff done. She's painting her house. She'll do her laundry. Like she's like, oh, I'm gonna kill two birds with one stone. There's videos of her making coffee, dusting, making dinner, whatever. And she's teaching the whole time. And we think we
Yeah.
have to be perfect. Like we have to sit like me in this little box. I put this up because my office is so small and it's sports themed, which really isn't conducive to my business.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like making it work. So that's another misconception people have is like, I did. I was like, I don't. At that time, I was living in a house with three other people. And I was like, I don't have an office space. I don't have a quiet space. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't have a wall to set up anything. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and make it work. So I was like in this closet sized room with the tiniest window. It looked like I was in jail. It was so dark in there. It smelled moldy. And I got the circle light, and I got a pair of headphones that are noise canceling. I invested in those because I thought they were going to be super important, which they were, because it blocked out everything else. And I just made it work. And it was messy and it was awful. And if people saw it, they would have been like, holy smokes. But it's like, that's how it starts, right? And then when the universe sees you taking action steps, then it gives you the next steps. Like you have to start somewhere. If you don't start, then the universe can't open up those other doors for you. So, yeah,
Oh, thank
it's
you for
how it
saying
starts.
that. Because that's how it works. Like you take one step forward and the universe takes 10 steps towards you. Because when you're like serious, because you were serious, you're like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I don't care how I have to figure it out. I'm gonna make it work. If I have to sit in this moldy corner with hardly any light, I will figure it out. Pro
Yeah,
tip,
big
you can
box of
also go
allergy
outside.
medication on my desk for the mold.
Sorry.
So yeah, no, it's true. It's true. You have to push through and you have to make it work. It's like people make excuses because of fear and discomfort. That is 100% the god awful truth is if someone makes yesterday or last week in my meditation class, someone said that they didn't have time to do the assigned meditations for that week. And I like was like holding my mouth. I'm like, that is such bullshit. Like you have time. You just didn't do it, right? Like we lie to ourselves all the time. And I felt really bad for that person in the moment because I'm like, oh man, I want to call you out, but you're hurting yourself, you know? Like when someone says they don't have time, well, that drives me nuts.
Yeah, how much time did you spend scrolling on your phone?
Yeah,
I know I'm
totally.
guilty of that sometimes too. I go, where did my week go? Oh my gosh. And then I force myself to stop and put it aside and say, what is my goal for this week? Like I've made a big, hairy, audacious goal. I think you've probably heard that expression before.
I
Three
haven't.
years in a row, which is to publish a book a month, because it's really crazy when if you understand the publishing industry, it's kind of an insane goal. Now I do have the least amount of pressure that I'm only writing one of the books. And the others are updates, translations, audiobooks, but I still consider them because there's work involved. I still consider them publications. So the idea was to publish 12 a year. So the first year I had the goal, I published four. Last year I published one, not even close to 12. This year I published one. I'm on track for two. So we'll see. But there's not, but am I disappointed that I didn't do it? Sure. Things were happening that some were out of my control, and then I got a bit lazy, and I fully own that. And then I think, okay, so this year I'm like, okay, you've put this goal, you really let it lax last year. Let's do that. So if I find myself, quote, like wasting time, like piddling around and doing stuff, I sit down, I put my phone aside, and I turn on music, because for me, music for me is, and then I force myself to sit down and do it. So if you say, I don't have time to do that assignment, you need to force yourself to sit down. Okay, well, maybe I'll get up 15 minutes earlier. Or I'll go to bed 15 minutes earlier because it might be a meditation that you want to do just before you go to sleep. So I'll just wrap up my day a smidge earlier to put that in there. Or even on my lunch. Good break in the middle of the day is to sit and just be quiet. So yeah, you can do it. And yeah, we're great at lying to ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah, we don't like to there's always I do it all the time, but I know I'm doing it. Like I call myself out on it. So what do you think the biggest mistakes that people make, like when they start business without money? Like, so I guess the way we can spin it in a more positive way is how do people start? Like, what would you tell them to do? What are the first three steps that someone can take to start moving forward?
First of all, write it all down. Like just sit down and write it almost, it doesn't even have to be a formal business plan, but write down what is your idea and what kind of tools are you going to need. So it could be super simple, like the woman who wanted just to help people and just create YouTube videos. So she just needed her list of questions that she was going to film, her camera, and like you, a spot to answer them. That was it. That's all she didn't really need a lot. She already was a practitioner. So she probably already had a business name and a business bank account and all that. So she didn't have to do any of that stuff. But write down what tools you need and then start figuring a way to get those or to get the money or, if you need a new phone. Okay, so how do I upgrade? I remember one time I needed a new phone and I had no money. I was going through this divorce and I had zero money. So I called up my provider and I said, look, I've been a customer of yours for like 20 years. I need a new phone. I don't think I'm due because at that time the plans had been locked. I said, I need a new phone. I need a new plan to save money. And I expect you to do this for me because I'm in such a loyal customer. And they did that. And I remember my ex saying, how could you afford a new phone? I said, I didn't. I called the company and told them I needed a new phone and they gave it to me for free.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at what happens when you ask. So
Yeah.
you don't know, like again, being pro-annoyed that it's going to work out in your favor. I remember reading a story, a case study when I was taking a sales and marketing course years ago. And this fella ended up buying. He wanted to buy this shoe company in this town. But it owed like all these taxes to the state. And he knew nothing about government. And he knew that if he could get like release that outstanding debt, the company could prosper. And so he went and he figured out how to lobby the state, let the state officials, and say, look, if you guys can release this debt, we're going to keep this business in the state. We're going to keep all these people employed. We're going to keep the businesses, the smaller businesses in the town going. Everybody's going to be paying taxes. And when we get going, we will be paying taxes to the state. But I just need help with this first step. And they agreed and they released all that debt, but he didn't know how to do it. He just figured, I'm going to ask. I lose nothing by asking. That's the other thing. You lose nothing by asking. The worst someone's going to say is no. Now, people think no is a rejection, but it actually isn't. It doesn't, it just means that that's not the right way to go. Think of it as a directional sign. If you were driving and the road sign said, go that way, and you're like, oh, I really wanted to go that way. And it's like, no, you have to turn this way. Well, if you turn that way, you're going off a cliff.
Yeah.
Just follow the road sign. It's okay to have a no, because that's a guidance.
It's like a redirection.
It's a redirection, and it's not, and you're not any different. So one of the examples that I had heard during a course, and I think it's a brilliant one, is you apply to Harvard. You're like, I want to go to Harvard. I want to become a lawyer. It's an Ivy League school. I'm going to apply. And you get a no, you get a rejection letter. Well, you weren't in Harvard before you applied, and you're not in Harvard after you apply. Your life didn't change. But people think, oh, my life is terrible because I didn't get in Harvard. No, your life didn't change. And when you start to reframe it as that, oh, okay. And it also can give you clues. So if you ask somebody to help you out on a project and they say no, then you can ask them for guidance. Okay, why did you say no? And what direction can you point me into? And you'd be amazed at the number of people that would help you get to the next step, even when they're not the next step. They will be a guide to the next step.
Yeah, I find it so interesting how we let someone take all of our power. Like, I've had people that I've really looked up to that have told me, given me some like pretty good constructive criticism, I guess. And it like devastated me in those moments. And I'm like, why do I care so much about what this one person thinks, what this one person says? I find that so fascinating because we're all human beings, we're all created equally, but we tend to put people, certain people on pedestals, and then it destroys us in a sense. And that destroys our confidence based on what one person out of how many people are on this planet, like 7 billion. I just find that so interesting to me.
Yeah, and sometimes when we get that criticism, you actually need to listen to it because at one point I was spinning my wheels and I had someone sit me down and kind of read me the riot act, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, I need to do a little more introspection." But that's why we're here. A lot of people think that on our journey, our souls are here for experience, not for safety. Ooh, I know. That's a quote from one of my favorite teachers, Robert Ojado. He wrote a book, Transforming Fate into Destiny. I always highly recommend that one to people. But then after I got read that riot act and told sit down and I did some introspection, I got Gary John Bishop's book, Don't F Your Un-F Yourself. And that was the perfect book at the perfect time. But one of my favorite points that he makes is, you're gonna die. You're gonna die. That was like, I think point six. It's 7 points in the book on how to straighten out your life. And number six is you're gonna die. So what are you waiting for? It could be in 10 minutes, it could be in 100 years. I don't know, he says. Like, I don't know what your timeline is, but I do know that you are gonna die. So what are you waiting for? You can't get any time back. You don't know how much is left in the hourglass. That's Bob Proctor, right? Bob's like, we only know what's here. We have no idea how, we only know how much sand is at the bottom. We know what we're going through in the middle, but we do not see what's in the upper half of that hourglass. So again, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 10 years, it could be 100 years. We don't know. But you are going to die. So what are you waiting for? So if you have that idea for a business or a product or a book or a course or something, and you don't have a ton of resources, but you have a phone or a computer or both, start doing some research. What are your next steps? You know, you'd probably be surprised. Someone might have already done it and can give you some guidance. And then you think, oh, what, someone's already done it, there's competition. There's a lot of people in this world. And sometimes you need to hear the same thing said slightly different ways to remember it. It's like looking at a raspberry bush. It's like you and I are standing on, we've seen those memes, right? It's a six or a nine, and one of us is at one end and one of us the other. And you say, it's a six. And I go, no, it's a nine. And we're both right, depending on our perspective. So it's like that. So sometimes you need to go around to get the message. So you could be teaching the exact same thing I'm teaching, but from two different perspectives, and someone needs to hear both before they go, oh yeah, I get it. So we're not in competition really. We're both raising everybody up. It's like all boats rise with the tide. That's one of my favorite expressions, because I think we should all think, imagine if the world thought like that. If I go through my day saying, how can I lift everybody I connect with up? If everybody thought that, how would this world change?
So I want to ask you a question. You said all you really need is an idea, gumption, and a phone. What would you define gumption as?
Breaking through that fear barrier, like we've talked about this. You've got to get over that fear. You've got to get over that perfectionism. You just have to start.
It's
And
like
the
essentially
start is
acting
always the
before you feel
hardest.
ready.
Right? Who said it? Was it Confucius? Like long time ago, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. You just have to take that step. And you might fall on that first step. And it's okay, just get up and keep going, because it will lead you to the next step and the next step. Like you said, your first video was probably horrible. Here's what's crazy. I've been a Toastmaster for 20 years, and we do something called Table Topics, which is get up for 1 minute and talk on a random topic. Guess what that's exactly like? Reels, shorts, and TikToks. And even being a Toastmaster for that long, my first videos, short form videos, were terrible, even though I'd had years of experience. So even I still had to get over that fear, because it was a different format that I had been used to. But I did it and I kept doing it. And guess what? Just like any skill, the more you do it, the better you get. Right? You probably weren't perfect the first time you got on a two-wheeler. Or went down that ski slope with the Olympics are on. Look at all those skiers and snowboarders and skaters. And how do you think they were? Well, they were probably really little, but they probably still were wobbly, right? They were not doing these like backflips and stuff when they started, right? They built the skill up over time, years. And went and worked so hard. So it's just like that. You just have to start. And no, you're not going to be going to the Olympics on the first time out.
So, Carolyn, how important is believing you're capable before the results show up?
It is a mind game. You have to believe you're going to succeed before you do. And it may take longer than you think. Like, I actually had this conversation with my girlfriend. I've known Stephanie since high school. We've been friends since we were 15. We're basically 60 now. So we've been friends a long time. And we had lunch the other day, and I said, isn't it crazy how you and I are finally in our where we are in our lives with our partners, with our careers, all these things, where we wanted to be 30 years ago. Like it took us 30 years to figure out all the different things. Like she finally, marriage number three, she's got the most amazing man. And her business is finally in a place where she can just travel the world and work from anywhere. So they'll be able to, go away all winter and she can just work remotely. She's got herself set up. I'm finally publishing a lot of books and getting the knowledge out that I wanted to. I thought I'd be doing this on my first book, and my first book, it's having its 20th anniversary. It's taken a hot minute. But that's okay, right? If I didn't start, I never would have been here. And the road is not straight. A lot of people think success is like this. Oh no, it goes like this and like this, and sometimes way down here and back here and up and around. Oh, look. We finally got there. And of course, I still have more. Like every time you reach a goal, you set another goal. But the point is, it's not a straight line, and you just have to enjoy the ride and enjoy the experience and keep going. And you'd be amazed at what doors open. You know that. Look at what doors have opened for you since you started down your path.
Yeah, I think it's so important for people to know that it's never linear. Like, there's always, it's going to be like the craziest roller coaster, like the craziest roller coaster. Every time I've tried to plan, I mean, I love planning, and every coach I've ever had has said, you have to have a business plan, you have to make some goals. Every time I've done that, it's never worked out the way that I imagined it. It's always worked out 10 times better in the end. So, no matter what
Oh.
I tried to plan, the universe stripped everything away from me and like showed me the way, but it was always something different than I could ever have imagined, but it was better for me. And so I think that the times that we're behind, like we're not behind, it's just the way that it's unfolding. Like everyone, I believe, has their own unique path, and in my humble opinion, it's the action steps that are the most important thing before we hit record. It's like taking that one step towards what we're wanting so that the universe recognizes that we're making the effort. We have the intention. Having an intention is the key to starting anything. You need to have an intention. You need to believe in yourself. And then you need to try, no matter how it makes you feel. But then you factor in real life. And some days I wake up and I feel like absolute garbage and I don't feel confident and I feel imposter syndrome and I feel like I'm comparing myself to everyone. So it's like we have to understand what real life is like and just allow it to unfold and just keep that trust and faith. I think the trust and faith is the most important thing, the belief, trust, and faith, no matter what, no matter how shitty you feel.
Yeah, and you can always do something. Like a couple of last month, we were gonna record, and I caught that chest cold that was going around, so I couldn't do it. And my head was foggy. When you've got a cold, my head was full. But guess what? I didn't waste any time. I couldn't really do anything, so I sat on the couch all bundled up with my decongestant and hot cups of tea, and I did my accounting. I sat and I sorted receipts and I did expense reports because that didn't really take any brain power. But I at least thought, okay, well, if I can't do this, at least I can get that done. And I could still move my business forward for this year by at least getting the books finished into the accountant early while I can't get any writing done. Because you definitely don't want to write a book when your head's clogged.
For sure,
But
for
so there's
sure.
no excuses. And like you said, it didn't work out the way you thought. It was 10 times better. But the point was, you made a plan. And the idea is, yes, you should make plans. You should say, hey, I think this is where I'd like to go. And then be open to whatever else comes to you. But if you don't have some sort of intention just to start the ball rolling, then you would never get anywhere. So I don't think it's a bad thing that you made a plan that didn't end up looking anything like you thought. That's, I think, completely okay because you use that energy to start and to get going. And then as different doors open, you're like, oh, okay. And I also remember when you set those goals, I call us puny humans. Your puny human little brain, this is all you could imagine because we don't know what is in the infinite universe. So I always say, okay, this is what my little puny human wants to do. And this is the goals. If you got something better, bring it on. But otherwise, I'm going in this direction. Okay. We'll just see what shows up.
Such a powerful conversation. Carolyn, what tell the audience more about what you do?
Well, right now, this is the other interesting thing. So I started with a small business marketing company, which ended up closing when I got a divorce. And then I started my book business where I teach people how to enter sweepstakes. So I wrote a book 20 years ago called You Can't Win If You Don't Enter. And then I launched a website called contestqueen.com, where I teach people how to find, organize, enter, and win giveaways. And through that, like you said, you don't know what the path is going to do. You don't know what the path is going to do. They, through that, I had a podcast in 2008. Oh, I wish I'd kept that. And I ended up meeting this lady, Helene Hadsall, through that. So I never imagined this. And ended up taking over her legacy. And through her, I ended up meeting him, Tag Powell, and ended up taking over his legacy. Like, I did not imagine any of this. So I ended up in a place that wasn't even on the paper. I thought I was going to be doing this over here, and I'm like way over here now. And I'm still doing the sweepstakes stuff. I'm working on my third sweepstakes book. Teaching people how to win because technology keeps changing. So the hobby keeps changing. So I'm working on that too. But I'm maintaining people's legacies. Well, that wasn't on the goal list. But now I keep publishing books and I'm translating and I'm working on getting them in the bookstores and libraries and I'm doing audiobooks. Like that wasn't on the list. It's so exciting actually, if you kind of go with the flow to see what shows up. So, and I know this is the other thing, you have to listen to your intuition. I know when I've published all of his books, the next author will show up. So I'm not worried about like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do when it's all done? I kind of already know that the next one will be there and the next one will be there. So I'm just trusting the process. Like you said.
Amazing. Sorry about that. My phone just rang. So let me ask you, where can people find more information about you and more of the work that you have done and that you're doing?
Well, if you want to learn how to win sweepstakes, you just go to contestqueen.com. And actually, that's kind of cool because I did something. This is the other thing I want to tell people. If you're afraid to do something, guess what? It's not the end of the world if it doesn't work. I remapped my own website instead of waiting for the web guy. And I realized it took me a week. And I think, oh, that was a big job. I didn't have to pay him to do that. And then I learned about all my own site and I put things in a flow that I think works really well. It's still got to be tweaked, but better than it was. And I was terrified because what if I wreck the website? Guess what? It's a technology. If I broke something, I'd call them. Hey, can you go fix that? It's not the end of the world. So don't be afraid to try something. So we're actually revamping the website. I'm so excited. And then Words for Winning is where you find all my books because I teach people how to win in life and in sweepstakes.
Amazing. Do you have any last minute tips for people on getting started, doing anything for that matter without any money?
Just start, and even if you're afraid to start, because what's the worst that's going to happen? Nothing. Like, so you put out a video and nobody sees it. You write a book and nobody reads it. You know, you go to the gym once, you don't lose any weight. You know, Just keep trying different things. This world is full of magic and wonder. Try things. You've always wanted to learn how to cook. The Olympics is in Italy right now. You always want to learn Italian food. Go find a class. Learn how to cook Italian food. What's stopping you from learning how to make homemade pasta? Nothing except you just getting off your couch and going to a class or watching even YouTube videos.
Yeah, it's absolutely. We got to get up and start taking those action steps because the universe meets us there. But taking that first step is the first step. Thank you so much for being here today, Carolyn. It was so nice to talk to you, and I'm excited about the work that you have coming up. And now the audience knows where to find you. So it was so much fun talking to you today.
Thanks.
And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. For more information on Carolyn's work, please check out the show notes. And yeah, don't be afraid. Take that first step. See where it goes. You'll never know until you try. I can't wait to see you next time. Take care, everyone.